This podcast
is so criminal. Hey.
What's up, beautiful people?
Oh, thank you. I've always thought that I was beautiful, but it's nice to hear it from external, you know, sources.
Of course. You are beautiful just the way you are. What's up? I've missed all you bitches.
I hope especially me. I'm good. It's been a little bit of a busy week. I feel like we're recording a little bit later in the week than we normally do, so it's kind of a different vibe.
I mean, not really. It's Monday, so.
Outing us on how, like, we didn't record it ahead of time, but it's fine. It's fine. It's fine. Oh, my gosh. Well, how are you?
I'm good. I'm happy to be alive, and I'm really enjoying my life.
I love the how deep we get on this podcast.
Oh, shit. I guess I should mention this. There's talk of a potential serial killer here right now. It has not been confirmed or anything like that, but yeah. Just thought I'd throw that out there.
Yeah. I mean, that's scary, though. Did you hear it, like, on the news?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of been everywhere. Like, this poor woman and her dog were both very much so attacked at Piedmont Park, and the woman's significant other found her, and...
Oh, my God.
Yeah, it was a tragic situation, and, like, it's just, the whole situation is so sad, and, like, the dog also, you know, happened, and, yeah, so...
Well, because I know you mentioned to me that, like, there was the news of that woman being, you know, brutally attacked and murdered, but, like, the fact that it's, like, a serial killer kind of elevates the situation a little bit.
Well, nobody's confirmed that it's a serial killer, but the talk around town is that it is, and knowing the specific details of the case, which I won't share because they're not truly made public right now, it's all just kind of, like, buzz around town, but those details that have been the talk of town have kind of indicated that it is a little bit more, yeah, like, of a intense serial killer moment.
You know, just a moment, not, yeah, a... Yeah. Well, I mean, and with all the serial killers that listen to our podcast, we wouldn't want to let him or her know that we know. So,
yeah, exactly.
You know.
You can't blow our cover.
I honestly, side note, and this isn't even my so criminal, but someone just started smoking a cigarette, like, in either my neighbor's apartment, like, next to me, or right outside my door, because it smells so very strong all of a sudden.
Dang, so that happened to me. I was, like, running out of gas on my way to work today, so I turned my air conditioning off, and I was driving, and then all of a sudden, I just smelled the most, like, potent weed I'd ever smelled in my entire life, and I was, like, looking around at all of the cars around me, and I was, like, wondering which one of them was the culprit, and, like,
trying
none of
the
cars...
Trying to find the one with, like, sunglasses and squinty eyes.
None of the cars really struck me as, like, some wake-and-bakers at, like, 8 o'clock on a Monday, so who knows?
Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, like, I'd honestly prefer the smell of weed. It's cigarettes. So it's, like, it smells like I'm in, like, a tanning salon and my skin is, you know, frying off, which y'all don't go to tanning salons. It's, like...
Well, I don't get those. I don't get that comparison, really, because I used to be a tan addict myself. But, yeah, it's really bad. And, actually, I just saw that there was a thing that was, like... a new study that's like, if you did a tanning bed for more than
it's
like
10 times.
No, it's like, if, yeah, you did a tanning bed for like 2 or 3 years or something, then your likelihood of getting skin cancer in your life is like 99% or something, like,
yeah,
really horrible.
This one dermatologist that I follow on YouTube and Instagram, her name is Dr. Dre. She's fantastic. It's where I get like all of my advice, but she was like casually just mentioned like, yeah, if you go to tanning bed, you know, it's like an 80% increase if you just go once. So don't do that.
Well, there, just so, like, what's also a little bit whack is that there are some dermatologists, like, who, and even like therapists and stuff, who like recommend tanning beds, but that's like at a very low level for a very limited time of exposure. And that's for people with like seasonal depression, I guess, and for people with like different skin ailments in which
there are studies that certain like skin ailments do need that like ultraviolet light.
Yeah, and it's only in a very particular situation where like it's actually like more beneficial beyond cosmetics.
Yeah, it like outweighs the like, you know, risk basically.
Yeah. But, so there's that. Yeah. Anywho.
Yeah, I was gonna say, so welcome to our skincare podcast.
Yeah.
I'm gonna go first with my So Criminal moment, because I do believe that we have a very special submission that Avery's gonna read, correct?
Well, I told you to act like you didn't know it.
Well, I haven't read it, but you told me to not say anything about it. Okay, so anyway, so my So Criminal moment
was that.
Yeah, is really quickly. So the wildfires in the West have been, I'm really scared about the fire season this year, honestly, with all the droughts and everything. And some close family friends that live in Montana that my mom was really good friends and with them and, you know, family friends. But they're
go hand in hand.
Well, yeah, you know, family trees, that's how they work. But their house was like a mile away from like an active forest fire, and they got like their door was like, you know, rap at the 2:30 a.m. It was like the fire marshals and all that telling them to evacuate, like, you know, leave a sock on the door handle so that we know that you're out, leave a pillowcase over your mailbox.
That's and they had to like so evacuate scary.
Yeah, and they could like see the flames from where they were, and I haven't talked to them or, you know, gotten an update, but from what I know, and you know me, I was like tracking like the flight paths of all the super scoopers that were dropping the water on the fire. Like, I was that guy. But it seems like, you know, their house was fine. Unfortunately, that's just such a, like, a common scary thing, especially in the West, that, like, does impact scary. So many people.
And, like, yeah. The thing is the reality is that I can't even imagine that, and I'm sure you can't either, being in Dallas. Mm-mm. Even though that's just like commonplace now in the West. Like, and I was thinking about it the other day, like, oh my god, what would I even do? Like, what would I grab? Like,
yeah,
in that moment, you know, I mean obviously my dogs, but like, what else? I don't know.
Yeah. Well, yeah, and it is really terrifying because it's so out of your control.
Yeah.
And I mean, they can move so fast, and like these, I don't know, it's just the perfect storm with how dry it is and how like the
America's
drought affects
going.
Like the wind and like all that. Yeah. So anyway, let's bring it up a little bit.
Bring it down. So actually, you guys, my So Criminal moment this week is a submission from one of you.
Ooh.
The subject line of this is in all caps, "Attention Avery." And then it says - Ted Bundy. And I'm like, okay, let's hear it.
Yeah.
So,
and we want to be clear that we didn't just pick this one because we're not like reading all of them. We just like had time.
This one just said "Attention Avery" in all caps. So
yeah, I didn't have control over it, guys.
It got my attention. So if y'all want your shit read, then do it attention to me. Okay. So it starts, "Hello, you two wonderful podcasters. I wanted to reach out and share somewhat of a quote, So Criminal moment with you all. It doesn't have to do directly with me, but my father.
Oh.
My dad attended Florida State University during the time that Ted Bundy was running rampant and killing young women in Florida.
Oh my God.
My father had a date scheduled with one of the Cayo girls who canceled the night that she ended up getting murdered in the Cayo house on the FSU campus.
Oh my God. Yeah, that was when he just broke into the sorority house and like...
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they continue, "Such a tragedy. I hope someday you will cover Ted Bundy, and I wanted to share this tragic fate with you all. Keep on sharing the criminal moments. Best, Mitchell from Colorado."
We love a dad story.
Can you even imagine, though, like, having, like, you have a date planned with a girl and, like, you're in college and whatever, and then, like, last minute she flakes, and then the next morning, like, you see the headlines that's, like, serial killer hit the Cayo house, and you're like, oh, shit. That's where the girl lived.
That's not even, like, on your radar as a college student. You're like, where's my next meal coming from? Not like, oh, my date is going to get murdered, you know? Like, literally. I can't even imagine.
I mean, it's just, I can't, I also just can't imagine that, like, people that listen to our podcast, I mean, I can. Everybody knows somebody who knows something in a criminal situation or whatever, but I mean, Ted Bundy, shit, he's a hard hitter.
Yeah, and I mean, I've heard stories of people's relatives that are like, oh yeah, my aunt, you know, she saw the gold beetle and, like, you know, those things, and you never, like, it's so cool that we like hear it from one of our listeners or family members or of our listeners, and, like,
yeah,
I feel like we're a real podcast.
Well, Mitchell from Colorado, thank you so much. Yeah, we really appreciate this information, and, you know, maybe ask your dad about some other cool stuff. I'm sure he saw some wild shit at FSU back in, what was that, like the 80s?
70s probably.
Well, even crazier. So
yeah, I was about to say, like, yeah, the 70s was a crazy time. But, well, speaking of crazy times, are you ready for the crazy time that is the saga of a story I have prepared?
Yeah.
Okay, so, I mean, I've said this a couple times where it's like, this has been on my list since when we started the podcast, but, like, this was one of the ones that I was, like, waiting for the right time. And with how serious and dark and mentally violating in a way to, like, listen and, like, I'm sure you felt, like, gross after having to do all the research of NXIVM and all that. Like, this is a funny story.
Well, I'm so glad because, I mean, like you said, like, it was pretty difficult to cover, especially because, like, almost all of the victims are still alive and have to deal with that. And it was also a very, like, intrusive and exploitive, not on my part, but, I mean, all of this information coming out with the court case and the high-profile nature of NXIVM kind of didn't really give them much privacy with their, like, victimhood.
No.
And in order to cover the story, you kind of have to dive into that a little bit. And I definitely felt a little bit guilty, like, talking about such intimate, personal things.
Yeah. I feel that. Well, we are going to get intimate with my story, but in a very different way. So you ready?
Yep.
So since we forgot to record it separately, I'm just going to read my sources now. So my sources for this episode include The Daily Beast, Medium, I Can't Believe It's Nonfiction.com, eHarmony, and ABC News. So we've got, like, a nice smorgasbord. So, finding love. That's what we're going to talk about today, you know?
Well, actually, speaking of, the other day I was driving home from work, and I take Peachtree home because Peachtree is, like, the biggest street ever. But I passed by, like, a legit matchmaking business, like, an actual storefront.
Like, brick and mortar?
I don't know what that means, but, like,
an actual... Like, brick and mortar, like, it's an actual building, like, made of brick and mortar.
Yes, okay. Yes. And they had, like, heart balloons outside, and they were like, meet your perfect match. And I was like, wow, I wonder how this business does.
I mean, clearly they got the balloons on sale from, like, the last, after Valentine's Day sale, so.
Well, clearly they're thriving because they could afford the 50-cent balloons, so.
I mean, more than I can afford with, I mean, I only do 25-cent balloons. But anyway, so, I've written it in a little bit of a saga manner, so let's get started. So, nowadays, finding love online is nothing out of the ordinary. And according to eHarmony, 40% of Americans use online dating platforms, which I actually think is kind of like lower than I was expecting.
Yeah, I was going to say that's got to be a low ball because like even if you don't meet your match on there, like I'm pretty sure every single person I know has like a dating profile.
Yeah. And I mean like that isn't including like Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, like forums, you know, like other stuff. That's
true.
Yeah.
And like on the show Catfish, these people are like almost never meeting on dating apps. They're meeting on like Facebook and shit. Mm-hmm.
Oh, we'll get to it. So going off that point of like not meeting on a dating site because they weren't super popular like in the earlier days of the internet, which is where we're going. So like in
like the '90s.
Well, we're going to 2005, which is the internet was like had been around for a couple years, but it wasn't like people.
It was like a toddler.
Exactly. Exactly. It, you had to do the dial up like the beer, like that whole thing. So yeah. Anyway. So it, like, wasn't super common to find love, like, online because of how rudimentary all the, you know, platforms were. But I'm going to talk about a love story that started on a forum back in 2005.
It's very romantic. Okay, I'm loving this setup.
So it's all started in the spring of that year, 2005, on an online teen chat room on a popular gaming site called Pogo, which I assume is like a gaming site that you like, you know, play the little web games and they have like a forum that you can
okay,
like chat.
For once, I'm so glad that you didn't know what I also didn't know because I feel like I never know what stuff is and then you have to explain it to me and you're like, oh my God, you don't know what Pogo is? And I'm like, no.
Yeah, I hadn't heard of Pogo, but I assume it's like, when I was writing it, I imagined like Webkinz or something like that, you know?
Imagining Kick. But anywho.
Well, yeah. So it's like a gaming site and then they have a chat room so you can chat with other people playing, basically.
Ah.
Yeah. So this love story, it all started when a user in the chat room with the IM handle, Marine Sniper, received a message. It was from a user with the handle, Tall Hot Blonde.
Inconspicuous.
I mean, Marine Sniper, Tall Hot Blonde, like, match made in heaven, you know?
Yeah, totally. America.
I know. It's very that. So, yeah, I mean, we all love a Tall Hot Blonde, but, like, maybe less so when tall is spelled T-A-L.
Well, we also love a good Marine. Thank you for serving the country.
Well, that, I'm just saying, I was really annoyed when I had to type this, and T-A-L, Hot Blonde, was immediately just autocorrected the entire time. So, it's more like, I don't know, just my little thing. Anyway, because clearly, like, T-A-L-L, Hot Blonde, had already been taken, so she had to get, you know, the second dibs. So, anyway, so this first message that I'm talking about, you know, that first, like, hey, you up, that leads to finding true love. Well, not exactly, because the message that Tall Hot Blonde sent to Marine Sniper said something along the lines of, hey, your profile says you're 46. Why are you in this teen chat room?
Bold, okay.
Yeah, it's not a good, not a great look. But luckily, Marine Sniper kind of, you know, he sorted the situation out. He introduced himself as 18-year-old Tommy, and, you know, he was using his dad's account, and that's why the age was off.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. He also explained, in my script it says send picture, but I, like, don't have my pictures ready. So one second, let me pull up the
pictures. I will say, though, of course it's no shocker that this Tall Blonde is reaching out or whatever, but the age of this person, like, you would think that if they're the catfisher, like, here at play, then they would have reached out first, you know?
Yeah, I think that she reached out because he was like, what are you doing on this teen chat website because your age on your profile says 46 type of thing.
Yeah, okay.
And she was like, what's going on here? So this is the picture that Marine Sniper had on his profile photo.
Yeah, I mean, he looks pretty young. He looks very unhappy. I don't know if that's what I would choose as a profile photo.
Well, I mean, his profile, like, his handle is Marine Sniper, so, I mean, he kind of wanted to probably look a little serious, so, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Whatever. So, anyway, so this is the point where I drop in another stat from eHarmony, came in real clutch this episode, that one might say is relevant to this story. So 53% of people lie on their dating profiles.
Okay, right.
And the number one lie is about age.
Yep.
Yeah.
That's not surprising at all.
Yeah. It's not like the great reveal I was, you know, when I was alone at night writing the story. Like,
you know, you were like, shit, wait until I drop this bombshell.
I was like, I'm writing this like so good. Like, okay. But like I said, so this is a teen chat room, not a dating site. So like I said, stats don't like necessarily apply to this, but like you get the picture.
What I'd also like to add, which might just be a dead end though, is that this photo, considering that you said it's 2005, this photo does not look like it was taken in 2005. Like maybe this is the same person, but it's an old ass photo that could have been in like black and white that was like refurbished into color or like something weird here. But this looks like an old picture.
Well, I mean, I'll explain to it. That's where we're going. All right. So anyway, tall, hot blonde was suspicious, but his picture like matched up to like what he was saying and they got to talking. And luckily for both of them and their eventual love story, tall, hot blonde, who introduced herself as 18-year-old Jessie, which is spelled J-E-S-S-I, which is like so 2005. I love it.
Yeah, I was going to ask.
So she believed his story and they kept chatting. So he actually wasn't lying about the profile picture being him. So like that's solid.
But it's an old picture. Was I right?
However, right under the last stat I read from eHarmony about lying online is a note that another common thing people do is use profile pictures from when they were younger, thinner.
Yes!
Or from one yes. that looks like, you know, from the perfect angle, which is what I do.
You cannot pull a fast one on me. I watch Catfish, like, all the time.
Yeah. I don't know if they covered this case, but I also haven't said if it's a catfishing story.
Well, I was going to say they only cover like submissions. Like they're not going to cover like a notorious famous catfish story. Like they're only going to try to solve a catfish situation to rekindle a relationship.
Yeah. Too bad they didn't cover the story. So let's continue. So we've established, we've kind of let the catfish out of the bag. It's a catfish story. So anyway, I bring all that up because like Avery kind of figured out this was a picture of Thomas Montgomery, the account holder, but it was a nearly 30-year-old picture of him when he served as a Marine as a young man.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it was not his dad's account at all. So, Jesse...
So, he was old guy. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So, he's using an old picture. We all do it, but, you know, we don't do it from 30 years prior. Yeah.
It's one thing if you're doing, like, a pre-COVID picture, like...
Yeah, honestly. I, like, you know, do one in utero, because, like, sonogram of me in the womb. That's basically, like, the equivalent of what he's doing. So, anyway. Okay, so they kept messaging, and tall, hot blonde Jessie, she, like, kept messaging with who she thought was an 18-year-old boy, you know, her age, and eventually the conversations turned flirtatious.
Mm-hmm.
So in later interviews, Thomas Montgomery, a 46-year-old machinist, so he worked, you know, machine repair, and married father of two from Buffalo, New York, he would say, quote, I kept thinking, well, we're never going to meet. I'll just keep playing the game with her.
Wow. Well, I mean, that's fucked up, and I would never be okay with that. But at the time of 2005... I feel like this wasn't technically, like, known to be, like, cheating or anything because, like, online internet relationships were not seemingly real.
Well, pedophilia was still real.
Oh, yeah, there's that whole aspect. I forgot she was underage.
Yeah, but... she's 18, which, you know, on those teen chat rooms or wherever, you're going to say you're 18, like, even if you're, like, 14, that you're going to say you're 18. So, you know, it's, like, still... just a weird dynamic.
But wait, stupid question. Why would you want to say that you're 18 in a teen chat room? Like, why would you want to be 18 if everybody else is below 18?
Well, I don't know. Because, I mean, I'm assuming that it's linked to an email account. And I'm not saying... this has nothing to do with the story at all. But, like, you know, when you're signing up you're 14-year-old and you're like signing up for YouTube, you're gonna say you're 18 on your email so that you can like not have the restricted thing on YouTube. You know, okay. What I mean? Like, yeah. So 18, like, you know, he's 46. She says she's 18, but like still, I hate everything about it. So yeah. Anyway, she doesn't know what we know though. So let's go back to the storyline. So this so-called game, as he put it, turned from flirtation into a full-blown internet romance.
Woohoo!
Yeah. So here's Thomas Montgomery. He looks a little bit different, you know, 30 years later. Here's him with his wife and his two children.
Oh. Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
This photo reminds me of something from, like, Napoleon Dynamite.
Very that. So, like I said, he's married. His wife's name is Cindy, and they have two daughters. And one of the articles
Her name is Cindy.
I know. One of the articles that I pulled from was from Medium, and the author describes him as, quote, rather dumpy, which I think is accurate when you see his photo.
That's pretty mean, but yeah.
But it's accurate. So anyway, to impress Jesse, Montgomery invented a younger, hotter, less dumpy, and in general better, you know, virtual version of himself. He was 6 feet tall. He had red hair, broad shoulders, big muscles, and of course, a 9-inch penis.
Oh.
You know, they were chatting.
It's alarming to me because in this picture, like, his daughters look about to be Jesse's that age.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I couldn't find any, like, specifics on their age, but it seemed like they were probably teens.
I mean, they probably look at least 15. Yeah. So.
Yeah, which makes it, like, so much worse.
I know.
Yeah, yeah. So, anyway, Tommy, you know, as he went by online, he was Marine Sniper Tommy. He also, according to, you know, what he told tall, hot, blonde Jesse, he also had $2.5 million in the bank.
Mm-hmm. I'm sure.
And I don't know about you, but when I was 18, I did not have $2.5 million in the bank.
Yeah, from what? The military? Like,
yeah, yeah, yeah. Where's my Bloody Mary? Like, that deserves a sip. Anyway, so he also talked about his deployment in Iraq. Because that was, you know, what was going on at the time. And, you know, secret ops and his missions and dramatic battlefield stories, you know, like military stuff.
Right.
In reality, his retelling of, like, his battle stories in Fallujah, Iraq, were actually just based on news stories he saw on TV.
Wow.
Yeah. And they had basically nothing to do with his actual time served in a Marine, which, as a reminder, was 30 years before all of this. It's a lot of lies going on. But
yeah,
unfortunately, Jesse, you know, obviously didn't know all this. And the boasting did seem to impress her. Yeah. And she revealed in their conversations that she was an 18-year-old high school senior. She lived in West Virginia. She played basketball and softball. And, you know, she's cute and normal and, like,
yeah,
doesn't
normal teen.
Deserve this situation.
Yeah, probably would not be talking to a 47-year-old.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, 46, Avery. Don't age him. So, like I said, the conversations between Tall Hot Blonde and Marine Sniper were romantic and flirtatious, but they also quickly turned sexual.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As they do.
Yeah. I mean, with his 9-inch virtual dick. Anyway, so the two basically did the 2005 version of sexting, and they exchanged sexual messages, and Jesse even sent Tommy sexy pictures of herself in underwear and bathing suits.
Oh my God, poor thing. She is so vulnerable, but I'm also just imagining the, like, flip phone or however she had to take those pictures with it, like, turned back around. Like, that takes some skill.
Or, like, have someone take it for you. I feel
for
like you really.
For you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Pretty crazy.
What a time. Ugh. Anyway, so at one point, Tommy sent Jesse a message saying that he wanted to, quote, slide all the snake slowly into his lady.
Oh, God. What the fuck?
Which is just, like, not how I want to be sexted.
Is that supposed to be, like, sexy?
Yeah. It's, like, not cute. It's real gross.
Yeah.
He's 46, to remind everyone. She's 18.
Well, regardless of the age, I don't know who the hell would say
that. Yeah, honestly. I mean, if anyone told me that, I would...
Run.
I would do something. I would run. I would hide. I could freeze.
Yes. Get a new phone. The...
Oh, man. Okay, so, you know, he, to his credit, did say later that, you know, all this sexual stuff made him uncomfortable at first. But, you know, he was just in too deep and he couldn't stop the relationship from progressing. Which, like, you're a pedophile. Like,
yeah.
So anyway, in one of these sexual conversations, Jesse revealed to Tommy that she was actually a virgin.
Mm-hmm.
Which,
and I'm sure he loved that.
Thomas Montgomery, however, was not fazed by this news. Shocker. And the relationship kept developing and getting more serious. So we've established it's gross. We're just going to kind of push through it. So they talk constantly, basically like all day, every day for months. And they even discuss their future together, including marriage.
Yeah.
So I have some quotes from the messages. And I will do dramatic readings for the quotes I have. So here's the first one. So... I love you always and forever, Tommy, wrote Jesse. I've never felt this way, Montgomery responded. So that's just kind of what they were sending each other, you know.
Yeah.
Avery hates this so much.
I mean, love it. Okay. I was a teen once and I can understand. Like, that's kind of the corny shit.
I know, it's so corny, but, like, I get it. Like, we've all been there. So, in addition to the vomit-worthy messages, they exchanged long phone calls and care packages, which included love notes and letters. And Jessie actually included pairs of her lace panties and other suggestive material in the ones that she sent him.
Girl.
Yeah.
Girl.
But also, like, guy, because you know he asked for them. You know what I mean? So, she also sent him a split heart pendant that had Jesse and Tommy Forever engraved on it.
Okay, so he's getting very serious.
Yeah. And in this part of my script, I'm like, let's take a step back and, like, check in with you, Avery, how we're doing. But I think I already know. We're not doing well.
I mean, you know I'm into this whole catfish moment.
Okay. You have no idea how good this gets. Okay. So moving on. One thing I want to stress while I'm talking about this, you know, love story for the ages, is that it's obviously disgusting. And Thomas Montgomery is a catfishing, cheating, fucking pedophile. And, you know, he's reminder in a chat room with teens that he signed up for.
Yeah. So he put this on himself. He was looking for it.
Exactly. But, you know, Montgomery was super sucked into the online fantasy life he'd created. And it actually got to where his online persona was more real than his real life in his mind. Like, which is kind of scary.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. Like, they share more, like, vulnerability to this invisible person.
Yeah, and he's, like,
less at stake.
And young.
Yeah.
On that note, like, basically, so he wrote a note to himself, like a physical note, reading on, well, I'm going to read it in his voice. On January 2nd, 2006, Tom Montgomery, 46 years old, ceases to exist and is replaced by an 18-year-old battle-scarred Marine.
Oh, my God.
So he, like...
He lost himself.
Really got into it.
Yeah.
Which I think, like, you know, I mean, we could talk about this at a different time, but, like, I feel like it's so easy to do that with, like, online personas.
Yeah, I was going
to
say, I understand, because, like, the life he's living is better than the one he's got, but that's nobody's fault but his own.
Exactly. Couldn't have said it better. So he also later compared the relationship that he had with Jesse to a drug that he just couldn't quit. Yeah. But if you have a drug problem, you know, maybe ask for help. If you can, you know, maybe go to rehab.
Don't reach out to children.
Yeah, but, you know, if you're a pedophile, you know, maybe go to jail. So anyway, his vision of the world is a little warped. And like I mentioned a second ago, Jesse and Tommy are constantly messaging each other. And this was obviously before modern smartphones, like we mentioned earlier. So that meant they were constantly, like, on the family computer. And all the time that Thomas Montgomery was spending on the family computer started to sketch his wife Cindy and their kids out a little bit. Mm. You know, it's like, Dad, what are you doing on the computer all day? It's 2005. So in March of 2006, Thomas Montgomery's fantasy world finally collided with his extremely mediocre, harsh reality. One of his daughters was using the computer when a message from the one and only tall, hot blonde popped up.
Of course, this isn't a surprise.
Horrified by the nature of the message, which I don't have details on, but we can assume, she ran and told her mom, Cindy, and with that, Thomas Montgomery's secret life came crashing down.
Oh, shit. Daughter got the message on the computer. Oh,
I, like, want to know what that message was, too.
It was probably something dirty.
Hey, babe. Can't even go there.
Okay, side note, but have y'all ever, like, as a kid, played, quote, games on your parents' phone, but actually gone through their shit? Because I did, and I mean,
have I done that with your phone, Avery? Yeah. The Bloody Mary I made was really spicy. Holy fuck. Okay. Spitting for the story. So because it all came crashing down, and so Cindy found the wife. She found all of the messages and photos that, you know, the loving couple had sent each other for over a year. This has been gone out. Wow. Like, yeah.
Wow. They got the engravement.
Yeah. Yeah, she went to the, you know, Jared Jeweler or whatever. K Jeweler. So she also found the care packages.
Oh.
Including the love letters and Jesse's lace panties.
Nice, because he had to keep it.
Yeah, I know. So Cindy, to her credit, was not fucking around. But, like, in a good way, not, like, in an aggressive to Jesse way. So she actually sent Jesse a photo of their family and a letter explaining the situation that started off with, quote, "Let me introduce you to these people. The man in the center is Tom, my husband since 1989. He is 46 years old.
She messaged that to Jesse?
Well, it sounds like she, because they had the care packages, she sent the letter back to Jesse's address. I think it was in the mail, like physical mail. So Cindy ended the letter by saying, "Do not trust words on a computer. Let this go. You will only be hurt by a man who has mastered the art of manipulation and lies. Sincerely, Cindy Montgomery, drop microphone."
Holy shit!
Love this bitch. Obviously, Jesse was crushed and livid, so she did what any 18-year-old would do, seek revenge.
Yeah.
Because, like, I can't even imagine being in that position where you're like, oh, this guy that I've been in love with for a year is actually catfishing me.
And when you're 18 and you find out about something like that, I mean, not even necessarily the catfish, that's just like, wow, he has somebody else? Like, oh my God, like, I must ruin their life. Like, let me go and spill milk all over them in the cafeteria in front of everybody.
Well, or, you know, she saw the picture of him and was like, oh shit, like, not what I was expecting.
Yeah.
Anyway, so, revenge. And what better revenge is there than getting with your ex's friend?
Okay, I'm listening.
So, Jesse emailed one of Thomas Montgomery's co-workers, 22-year-old, he's actually 22, spoiler.
Yes, I love I know. This.
22-year-old Brian Barrett, who Montgomery had actually mentored on the job. So they, like, worked, you know, they were both machine people in the same factory. So they were super close. And Brian, like Montgomery, like I said, they work together. But unlike Montgomery, you know, the 46-year-old pedophile, he was actually handsome and actually the age that he presented. So, yeah,
he's actually 22. Oh, my gosh, are they going to get together now, him and Tall Blonde?
Oh, well, you'll have to see. So it's unclear whether Jesse actually had the initial intent to get with Brian out of revenge or just to, like, find out whether everything that Cindy said about, like, the catfishing situation was true about Tommy. But the end result was the same. You know, Brian consoled Jesse in their messages, and they even made, like, he even made an account on the chat room where it all kind of started. So he, like, joined the chat room to keep up with her.
Okay.
Do you want to guess what his handle that he created was?
I don't even have a guess.
Beefcake.
I'm glad I didn't guess, because it wouldn't have been that.
I know. I mean, Tall, Hot, Blonde, and Beefcake. That's...
Yeah, it's match made in heaven.
I know. Even better than Marine Sniper and Tall, Hot, Blonde, but...
Yes.
Know, they'll fight over it, you'll see. So... Anyway, the two emailed and chatted online, often in the same forums as Thomas Montgomery did, who apparently was still creeping in these teen and young adult chat rooms.
Trying to find a new teen or trying to woo back Jesse?
I mean, probably both, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah. And so when Tall, Hot, Blonde, and Beefcake made their relationship public on, like, the online circles that they were on, they also outed Montgomery for being a pedophile.
Yes.
Yeah.
Necessary.
Yeah. Yeah. Jessessary. That's like what her name, like, you know. Anyway. Okay. So like this obviously pissed him off because now everyone in the chat rooms was like, you're a pedophile. Get off here. Like, I'm 13. You're disgusting. Yeah. So instead of leaving the chat rooms, though, he defended himself to the onslaught of people calling him out, and he actually began to threaten Brian, you know, Beefcake.
Does he know that that's his coworker?
Yes. And he knows that it's his coworker. So it's very...
Shit. That's an obvious a very hostile feud. Work environment.
Oh, you have no idea. So he even wrote to Jesse, he as in Tommy, that Brian had, quote, made a very deadly enemy and that one day Brian would have to pay in blood.
So is he at this point saying like, okay, I'm 47. I'm okay, 46. Sorry, I don't want to age him.
He's, but I think, 47 at this point, yeah.
So is he at this point owning it or is he like, Brian's a liar?
At this point, it sounds like he's in the chat room trying to defend himself against all these people. But, like, Brian knows what he looks like in real life. So, it's like there's no veil of virtualness. Like, it's all very clear what's going on. Yeah. They all know at this point.
Well, Brian should tell the boss.
Well, you know. Yeah. 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 Something should have happened. Yeah. It's kind of sad. Okay, speaking of kind of sad. So Tommy's messages, got increasingly violent and threatening towards both Brian and Jesse. And he called them horrible names. And he even threatened Jesse's mother, which I think is what you do when you flirt with someone you're trying to get back with.
So that's like, oh my God, what the... Like, her mom didn't do anything.
Yeah, yeah, her mom, your mom's like not even part of this. So
her mom's like, you've been doing what, Jesse?
So
where are those panties?
Yeah, literally. However, even with all this, like, Jesse was torn. She like had a, I mean, I get the teen brain. Like, she had a year-long relationship with
an emotional connection. I get it. And the vulnerability that I'm sure during that year she shared with him.
Totally.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah. And, you know, she really liked her new relationship with Beefcake. I just can't. These names, I had to, like, write it in. Like, it's more fun to say their online names than, like, their actual
names. Totally.
Like, so, anyway, she really was digging the new relash. But part of her did miss, like we were saying, what she had with Tommy.
Right.
So
she probably missed his maturity, honestly.
I mean, I don't know about that. He's insulting her mom. Like, I don't know if this 46-year-old man is, he's like less mature than like his fake online persona.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
And I want to be clear, like, this is common behavior in, like, abusive relationships, because the natural human reaction to violence is, you know, to de-escalate it. So especially when we're talking about, like, an online thing, you know, it gets a little tricky, but you should be very aware that you should never, ever blame someone who's, like, a victim in an abusive relationship that stays, because that's just, like, the human normal reaction.
Well, that, and I understand, like, it's a new level when it's online, because when it's online, it's just words, you know? It's mm-hmm. not actions yet, I'm assuming, but, yeah.
Well, totally, and this was when the internet was newer, and so there wasn't, like, a precedent of, like, oh, this is, like, internet, you know, rules or, like, that type of thing.
Yeah, like, safeguards or anything.
Yeah. So, like I said, she was torn, and she did begin to message Tom again, you know, Thomas Montgomery.
Yep.
And they kind of started flirting again. And I have one of their convos that I pulled. No.
Does she know what he looks like at this point?
At this point, yes.
Oh, no.
So I have one of the convos. I pulled this from ABC News. And now I'm going to dramatically read it to you.
Please do.
So this is, I mean, you'll know by the voices. So starting with Tall Hot Blonde, Jesse. I ache to be with Tommy. Do you miss it, Tom? More than you will ever know.
Joe, have you ever considered being an actor?
I mean, these cold reads, they're not bad. Okay. More than you will ever know. I mean, I've done, like, three different accents for him, but at this point, but I don't care. So anyway, so more than you will ever know.
Do you miss it, Tom?
My heart aches to hear you call me your Tommy. I wish I could be that 19-year-old Marine for you, spelled U, letter U.
Wow, real sincere.
I know, Tom. So nice. That's kind of like, they're acknowledging that they're,
it's like some, you know, Romeo and Juliet vibe.
Yeah, and we saw how that ended.
Mm-hmm.
So I hate everything about this, but, you know, they keep talking, and I have more messages. Are you ready for these? I don't think you are.
I think, do I need a refill?
No. Okay. I'll let you refill after these, because, you know, you'll need it. Okay, so here we go. So starting with Marine Sniper, it starts, wish you were nude. What would you do? Stare. That all? Nope. You might get the magic.
Wow, the snakes.
Make love to me, Tommy. So that was an exchange they had.
Joe, your acting just makes this.
Yeah. All right, do you need a refill?
Okay, we're back.
All right.
Catch my breath real quick. Well,
I will just keep speaking then. All right. So as fun as that was, unfortunately and or fortunately, that is the last dramatic reading I have for this love saga. So luckily, Jesse did end up ending things with Marine Sniper for good shortly after this, you know, lovely exchange they had.
Yeah.
And she got back with... Are you situated?
No. I told you I wasn't.
Okay. Right.
Now I am.
Okay. So she got back with Beefcake, you know, Brian.
Good.
Yeah. It's unclear if she had just been texting or messaging Brian the whole time, but you never know. However, this rejection from a teenage girl sent 47-year-old Thomas Montgomery into a deep, dark, downward spiral. So,
into a dither.
Literally. So she basically was like, I'm done. And I mean, this man is just all just that, levels.
I mean, that really sucks, though. Like, his family hates him. His wife hates him. Now his online girlfriend hates him.
But he's a pedophile.
A pedophile. I know. I understand why he's in a dither. His life sucks ass now.
I mean, his life clearly was never that great. I mean, he's just...
But what about his Napoleon Dynamite family?
I don't know. He's not a good guy, as we're about to get into, as we already have gotten into.
Yeah, let's continue.
40 minutes. So, anyway, make love to me, Tommy. All right, next paragraph. So, anyway, so things, you know, came to a head. You know, he was in this deep, dark spiral. So, things came to a head when he overheard Brian, you know, Beefcake, talking to some coworkers while they were at work. So remember, they work together and they're having this online feud, which is like honestly pretty like trailblazing at the time to have like an online feud with your coworker. Like,
Shit. That's gotta be so awkward. Like, that makes dreading going into work on a new level.
Yeah. Like, nowadays, I feel like online feuds are like common. But like 2005, it's like, I can't imagine what it was like to work in that place and overhear this drama.
Oh my God, I would love that.
I know, fly on the wall. That's where I want to be. So Thomas overheard Brian. And so Brian was telling all his coworkers about how he was actually going to go to West Virginia to see Jesse. And quote, his words, not mine, pop her cherry.
Oh my God. That is... Well, A, so gross. Like, yeah,
hate poor that Jesse. Language.
Yeah, I don't like that language at all. And I don't like the visual. I don't like any of that at all.
But, I don't like the visual either, girl.
I don't like any of it. But, yeah. I mean, hey, and like, at least he's real, I guess. But also, why are you saying that shit at work?
I don't know. It's
these people are your coworkers. They're not your friends. Like, I'm sure maybe he was saying that so Tommy would hear him.
Probably, but also like misogyny and
he's like, maybe I'll get that promotion if I swipe somebody's V card.
Yeah, gross. And like virginity is like not real anyway. Like, it's scientifically proven. So anyway.
I didn't know that. But continue. Yeah.
It's a societal construct. So, okay. Anyway. So, overhearing this, Montgomery, you know, Tommy, got into an absolute rage, and he literally lost all of his shit, because he's that insecure. Yeah. So, on September 15th, 2006, Montgomery drove to the, you know, workplace where he and Brian were working, and he was off, so he, like, drove back to the work site. And he waited in the parking lot for Brian to finish his shift. Mm-hmm. When Brian walked out of the building, Montgomery shot him 3 times with a military rifle.
Wow. So he was the Marine guy.
Oh, yeah. No, he was actually in the Marines.
Yeah. No, I know that. I was making a reference. But Yeah.
And, like, this is a, like, I didn't write this in the script, but apparently, like, he was real into his military gun, so, you know, it wasn't hard to trace back to him.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, Brian Barrett didn't make it, and he did pass away at the age of 22.
Oh, no.
Yeah. His confirmed age of 22.
That's really sad, honestly.
I know, it's sad. Yeah.
Beefcake?
I know. Beefcake!
No!
I know. And he was like the OG Beefcake. He didn't have to even spell it weird.
Wow.
Yeah. And like Tall Hot Blonde with one L. So, yeah. So investigators luckily did put it together really quickly, this whole online love triangle situation. Just by, you know, talking to the coworkers, because literally everyone knew about the feud between them. Like, it was like a weird vibe.
Did their boss know? Like,
I mean, I
would assume so at this point.
I mean, it sounds like some gross, like, misogynist, like, yeah, we're both fighting over the same girl, like, type of situation. You know what I mean? So I'm sure that they were very vocal about it.
Gross.
Yeah. So anyway, they put it together pretty quickly, but they couldn't find him, which is, like, concerning because, like, where is he going to go?
Yeah, he's having a moment.
Yeah, they were worried he was going to go to, like, Jesse's address type of thing.
Or his family's house.
Yeah, yeah. So, luckily, investigators were able to get a hold of Jesse's IP address from, like, the website, I assume.
Wow.
And they, I know, pretty, like...
advanced for 2005.
I know. I'm actually pretty impressed with how, like, quickly they were able to do this. Like, so, yeah, they were able to get the IP address.
It's not somebody who's like, it's my lunch break, I'll do this after.
Literally. Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine being on, like, one of the investigators, and it's like, wait, what's the situation we're dealing with? Like,
so I'm supposed to subpoena Beefcake?
Anyway, so they did track the address down, and it led them to an address in Oak Hill, West Virginia, you know, where she's from, and they were, local officers, I assume, were dispatched to the address, so... when they arrived, Jesse's mom, Mary Sheeler, answered the door, and officers were relieved when she did confirm that Jesse was safe. So thank
God.
Good. Yeah.
Yeah, thank God.
However, when the officers told Mary why they were there, Mary...
oh, no. She's not safe anymore.
Well, Mary
Mama
broke
Bear's
down.
Mama Bear's mad.
Yeah, Mary was... yeah, she got emotional. She was freaking out once they told her why they were there. Because she'd actually known about Jesse's online relationships for months.
But she didn't know how old they were.
Well, sip of the Bloody Mary.
Which,
so
this wine is so gross. Like, I can literally see the, like, parabens or whatever these, like, specks are in it.
I feel like there's a name for that that fancy wine drinkers have.
There,
like, the,
is. And this, I can't, like, I thought the, it was paraben. Is it not?
No, a paraben is like a... thing they use in cosmetics for it's like a preservative.
Well, it's something, and it's,
sulfates.
I don't know, but I can, like, feel my hangover.
I feel like it's a dregs or something. I don't know. There's some word for it. Y'all email us. So anyway, she did know about the online relationships for months, but the shocking part is how she knew about the relationships.
Wow, how?
So Mary Sheeler, Jesse's mom, had actually been impersonating her daughter online the entire time.
What? Holy shit, what? So Jesse wasn't even ever there?
Jesse's online? A real person.
Yeah, but... no, but she wasn't there online. Who was sending the nudies?
Well, Jesse had no idea that her own mother was using her photos and identity to flirt with men online for over a year.
Wait, okay. What? Also, how did her mom get those photos of her?
I'm gonna keep reading. So yes, marine sniper catfish Tall Hot Blonde, who was actually a catfish who catfished him. So,
but
honestly,
yes, though,
match made in heaven.
Yes. I knew it. I knew that both of those screen names, I was like, those scream BS.
I know. Like, the whole, like, it was, like, so syrupy, that language. It's like, love me, Tommy. Like, no 18-year-olds,
like... No wonder,
like,
they got along so well.
Yeah. Yeah,
because they were both old.
It's pretty wild. So, Miss Mary over here is literally just as disgusting as Thomas Montgomery. Not only did she impersonate her daughter...
I don't think she's that gross. Well, let me let you finish.
Not only did she impersonate her daughter, she took and or stole those suggestive photos of her daughter to send to random men on the internet. She even She even went as far as to sneakily take an up-the-skirt video of her own daughter to send online.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And as you might
That's
guess...
That's disgusting. So, yeah, she is.
Yeah.
Almost... I honestly think she's worse.
It's like a, like, you choose between two evils situation. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah,
it's, like, hard.
Yeah, no, I know, but shit, that is very, very evil.
It's really dark, but also, like, the first half of the story was funny, so we had to bring it down somehow. So, anyway, as you might guess, Marine Sniper and Beefcake weren't the only men that she had had relationships online with. There were actually many more.
Of course.
So she had been sending around these photos and, like, video of her daughter to, like, tons of men online.
Whoever wanted them. Yeah. Yeah. Mm.
So, disgusting. Like, how do you even find the time? It's wild. So, Thomas Montgomery, a.k.a. Marine Sniper, pled guilty to the murder of Brian Barrett, a.k.a. Beefcake, and he received a 20-year sentence, which is, like, not enough.
Because he's also a pedophile. He should have been charged with
that. Literally. But I think it was, like, a plea deal since he pled guilty to, like, manslaughter or something like that.
And I guess technically he thought he was being a pedophile, but actually wasn't.
Isn't that? It's so weird. But, like, it still counts to me.
Yeah. It's the intent.
So when it comes to catfish cases, especially in these early days of the internet, it can be hard to charge someone with a crime unless there's, like, actual fraud or, like, money transfer or, like, actual or identity action. Theft. Yeah. And the internet, even today, is still relatively new, and our government is honestly, like, really slow to update things when it comes to, like, internet regulation. And especially back in 2006 when all this went down, like, they literally couldn't pin her, Mary, with anything.
Wow.
Yeah. And I don't think that she would really get pinned with anything today. I mean, she might get, like, canceled, but, like, it's one of those weird things.
She'd probably get identity theft.
Well, she didn't use... There was no money. There was no, like...
In order for it to be identity theft, there has to be money?
I did know when I wrote this story. I was, like, prepared to answer these questions. I don't know. But there are weird things with catfishing. It's, like, it has to have, like, a money transfer where there's, like, a trail. You have to show, like, that it harmed you or, like, caused you harm. Or... You have to, like, show that they identity thefted, not the right word, you, or, like, stole your socials or anything like that. Because it has to fall into, like, existing, like, legislature.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, obviously there was harm to Jessie, but how is she? She's not going to be the one to go and press charges against her mom at the time when she was so young.
Exactly. And, I mean, it's just one of those things where there's not, like, a specific, like, catfishing charge. They have to kind of rely on the existing, like, framework that they have. And unfortunately, like, there was nothing that they could, like, probably, at least at this time, you know, have a strong enough case to, like, make it worthwhile to go to court, which is, like, fucked that she got away with this.
Right.
But, you know, more on her in a second. So, she, I guess right now, not in a second. So... Her husband divorced her, and her daughter, Jessie, does not have a relationship with her, as far as I know, when I researched.
Good.
And I don't blame her at all. Like, how do you come back from that?
No. You don't come back from that, like...
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, literally what? And let me send you a picture of Jessie and Mary.
I don't think we should post this. I don't want Jessie on there.
It's public because she was actually, like, not 18. She was older. She was in college.
She's really pretty, but oh my God, it honestly looks like her mom would be a match made in heaven for Tommy.
Yeah, I mean, we could post the second one where it's, like, a little more blurry, but yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So those are that's kind of, like, the situation, you know, visualize it. And I forgot to send this earlier, but this was Brian. So that's Brian, and then on the right, and then that's Mr.
Oh, he's actually so cute.
Mr. Ugly Murderer on the left.
Oh my God, he's scary.
He's real gross. Dumpy, aww, as the article said.
Dang.
Yeah. So neither Mary nor Thomas have really expressed any remorse for what they did. So, like, that's great. Love that. Mary, overall, has kept pretty quiet on the whole thing, but she maintains that she never thought it would spiral like it did, and she actually even defends her continuing to talk to Tommy even after he was outed as a pedophile by kind of rationalizing that she was preventing him from preying on other girls by, like, letting him talk to her.
Oh, my God. What the hell?
Which is, like, If that's what she needs to do to rationalize it to herself, like, the brain is a wild thing. Like, humans will rationalize anything. Like, Jesus Christ. That's
insane.
So, in my notes, it's like SMH. So, mm-hmm. Thomas is still in jail for manslaughter, as far as I know. But, like,
the date's
coming up soon. Yeah. He was actually interviewed on 2020 and in a 2009 documentary called Tall Hot Blonde, spelled with one L, if you need to search it. Neither of which I watched because I did not want this man infecting my TV screen.
Yeah, we don't need that.
I watched, like, the trailer, and he was just way too chill about all of it.
Oh, God.
Like, he just kind of glossed over the fact that, like, he killed a dude and was just like, wow, it's just so crazy that she, like, got me.
Like, what?
It was so...
He was more, like, taken back by the fact that he was catfished.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
He was, like... not talking about how, like, he was a pedophile. It was really just, like, uncomfortable. Like, I was not about to spend the $2.99 on Amazon to, like, watch it. So,
no. Yeah. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah. Yeah. But luckily, the 2020 gave us some of those quotes. So that's the story, how a catfish got catfished by a catfish, and how an online love triangle spiraled out of control, ultimately ending in the tragic murder of Brian Barrett. So, I mean...
That was insane. I was not expecting the mom to be Jesse.
I mean, it's like I can see... Okay, so one thing I did... It's not written in my script, but this is something that also happened. So this was made into, like, a... It wasn't a Lifetime movie, but it was in that same style. And Courtney Cox directed it.
Oh.
Yeah. I believe it's called Tall Hot Blonde, and I think it's 2013. And it did not get good reviews, but, I mean... I can see why someone would want to make a movie out of it. Because it's, totally. Like... wild. So, speaking of, well, I don't know if it'll be wild. I hope it's happy. Do we have a happy ending?
Well, it is happy. It is not very wild, but this comes directly from the Good News Network. I'm just going to read it to you.
Our favorite.
Little bits and pieces. So, more than 3 years ago at a hospital in Portland, Oregon, Lawson Lundberg was born prematurely. So, he spent several weeks in neonatal intensive care, and doctors expected him to have significant delays in his cognitive development. And despite not hearing more than two words, like, during her son's first years of life, 2 years of life, there was a sudden change.
Oh.
He was learning shapes without them teaching it to him. He was learning words that they've never said to him. And his mother says, quote, earlier this year during the ice storm, which we all remember. We were without power for a few days. And during that time, he learned the names of countries and their capitals. It was then that we figured out that he had somehow learned phonics on his own, which blew us away.
And saved you a lot of money.
So now, at 3 years old, Lawson knows every flag, country, and capital in the world. And other kids were learning how to walk. Lawson was naming all 50 states and 195 countries.
There's like 230 countries, so like that's like real impressive.
Yeah, and like during then, like his vocabulary was growing so much, and like his thirst for knowledge as well. So his parents decided to get his IQ tested professionally. So as a two-year-old, his IQ was 151, which for reference is like Albert Einstein's was between 160 and 180, but as an adult.
That's insane. Like,
so Lawson's parents signed their son up to join the National Intelligence Organization, Mensa. And he's among the group's youngest members.
Shocker.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
An IQ of 130 is required to join, and he had 151.
Damn.
So, Not only that, is he smart as hell after doctors doubted him and he had this really struggle with his babyhood.
We're gonna be such solid parents. Yeah, no, his babyhood was a little like
well, he's smart. Yeah. So his parents taught him the importance of charity because they were, you know, charitable recipients when he was in the NICU.
Yeah.
And now Lawson has decided to paint and has made it his mission to earn money for charity. So now they're offering to send the boys paintings, which consist of like shapes and states and countries, and they'll send them to strangers like us who are willing to donate to the family's donation page of March of Dimes. So if you want to do that, then you can email Sarah at Sarah, S-A-R-A, Lundberg, L-U-N-D-B-E-R-G, 10 at gmail.com.
I just pulled up the article. He's super cute.
So cute. And that's just amazing. Overcoming adversity at such a young age. Yeah. Jeez.
That's, like, so cute, though. And, like, he's just, like, the cutest little thing. Painting his, like, artwork. He's got his Mensa card. He's, like, he's got the state of, I think it's, like, Washington or something like that. But
well,
good for
him.
Well,
he's from Oregon, so it makes
it's
sense.
It's definitely Oregon now that I'm... All right. So, my IQ is getting lower and lower by the second. So, we should probably end pretty soon. That was such a good story, though.
You want to tell us where to find... Tell them where to find us.
Well, I mean, sometimes we have to tell us where to find us, though. Like, let's be real.
Yeah.
So, you can find us on Instagram and Twitter at SoCriminalPod. You can email us at submit.socriminal@gmail.com. You can donate to our Patreon at patreon.com/SoCriminalPod. And you can either do a recurring monthly donation or you can just do a one-time donation if that's what you can afford right now. We know the world is not nice, but we really do appreciate any help that we can get, and we really love to just hear from y'all and really appreciate y'all's support so that we can really make this a thing.
Yes, exactly what he said, and I'm excited to chat with y'all next time.
Yeah, I'm excited to finish my Bloody Mary.
All right, y'all. Bye.
Bye. So Criminal is written and produced by Avery Bragg and Joe Milligan. Our graphic and audio design is by Joe Milligan, and our outro music is Violet Tape by Cheel. Thanks for listening, and thanks for supporting. Talk to you next week, bitches. Cheers.